Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the program this week. My guest is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes, and we'd love to have your questions for him. You can call those in during today's show at 765-496-1999. You can send emails to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, Happy New Year. Good to talk to you as always.
Happy New Year, Stan. Good to be with you.
So let me ask, are you a New Year's resolution kind of guy? Are you setting up something for yourself to be bettered this year?
Well, my wife usually takes care of all that for us. She's got us on this new health kick. So, you know, we have a couple drinks a day that are equivalent to, 40 pounds of greens and all this. So we're trying to eat a little better here, and she's going to be the one to kind of keep me on track. And, it is amazing. You watch your nutrition, you cut the caffeine, and you reduce the cough, and you put good stuff in your body. You do have a little bit more pep in your step. So, maybe there's something to that. So we'll keep that going, and I'll report back here in a couple months.
Seems like journalists and politicians kind of eat the same bad diet a lot of the time.
We eat when we can.
That's true.
That's the problem with it.
So let me run into some things that we've come across since we last spoke with you. And maybe the biggest news story regarding you in the last month or so was something you decided not to do, and that's run for the state Senate seat formerly held by Brandt Hirschman. You issued a statement saying you wanted to continue to serve your hometown. That's something you've talked about a lot on this show and elsewhere. Run down some of the reasons that you decided not to seek that seat. Was there anything that particularly turned you off other than having to be away from Frankfort for a good period of the time?
We gave it heavy consideration. Samantha and I both did. Of course, number one, I don't think anyone foresaw Senator Hirschman stepping away from the seat as quickly as he did. I believe whoever comes into that seat will have very, very large shoes to fill. I have a lot of respect for initiatives that he carried throughout his tenure, and I think he should be respected for his well over a decade of service to our Senate district. So I say thanks to him, wish him all the best and his loved ones moving forward. But when Samantha and I found out about this, we immediately started receiving calls from great people across the district, and for that I was incredibly humbled, not sure I'm deserving of it, but received calls and gave it the serious consideration it was due. We started out with a pros and cons list immediately, pros and cons, and then just really reflected on that, spoke to loved ones, prayed about it, talked to a lot of people that I respect here in the city, and really, the final decision was fairly simplistic, and that decision was, and it was based around finishing my commitment to the people of Frankfort. It really was. I believe, politicians, and there are times, I suppose, when you can make an opportunistic jump, and it's right for the people you serve, it's right for the state or whatever agency you're a part of, but in my heart of hearts, I just could not justify walking away from my post when there was work left to be done. And I really think Frankfort's right on the cusp of having some great things happen. We've worked so hard to garner this momentum. We have a great team in place. And I believe there's a big fight to be had here, and it's going to determine how successful our city is over the next 30, 40, 50 years. So although it might seem a little simplistic from the outside, it's the truth. I just couldn't leave my hometown. I couldn't walk away from my post. And I think I can have the biggest impact on my neighbors being in the seat that I'm in. So I'm not saying never for an opportunity like that, just not right now in my life. And I want to see through the things that we've started and the commitment I've made to the taxpayers of Frankfort.
It's easy to see what some of the cons on your pro-con list might have been from your perspective. What did you and your wife see as some of the pros of possibly seeking that Senate seat?
Well, I think one thing that you can discuss and debate about is, can you have a larger impact on the greater good being in a seat like that? You obviously, right now as mayor, I pick up the phone. State agencies are good, but you pick up the phone as a senator and you call state agencies, and I'm sure the response you get is maybe a little bit different. You know, then you talk about being able to sponsor bills and affect legislation that's going to not only affect the city of Frankfort, but the entire Senate district that we live in, and then have ripple effects throughout the state and perhaps the nation. You have a bigger platform, so to speak. But at the same time, whoever gets in that seat is going to go down there, and they're going to be one of 50. Odds are they're going to be low person on the totem pole, and they're going to have their work cut out for them. And so, you know, as we looked at things like that, in my heart, I came to peace with that I can have the greatest impact for the greatest good, I believe, in the seat I'm in now. And then most importantly, above all, in all honesty, is just comes down to the commitment I made to taxpayers of Frankfort. And when people reached out to me, I wanted to give it due consideration. I'm so flattered by that. But it comes down to fulfilling the promises I made for my hometown in Frankfort. And that's why I chose to stay.
So let's talk about the possible duration of that commitment. We talked a little bit on last month's show about the possibility you might seek a third term in 2019's elections. And so you've now had multiple opportunities to seek other offices, the 4th Congressional District, the State Senate. You have said on this show last month that you were considering a third term more than you thought you originally would. So that was the first time that our conversation had trended anything towards something other than two terms and I'm done, Stan, which is something you'd said to me a couple of times. Boy, it sure seems like there are more and more signs pointing towards you running for mayor again in 2019. Am I wrong?
We'll see. I think anything's possible. I definitely haven't made up my mind yet. You know, over the past couple years, you know, you ebb and flow in different directions. To be honest with you, a lot of it depends on how much I'm able to get done in this next year and 11 months. If I can come to terms with myself that the initiatives and some of the projects that we have pending are well on their way to completion, then that's going to compute into my decision. So this is definitely a fluid situation. I cannot tell you today whether I will do that or not. I'm not taking anything off the table at this point in time. But progress over the next year and 11 months will heavily dictate whether or not I consider moving forward with fighting for that opportunity. You know, we'll see. We'll see.
Speaking of people filing for elections, that has begun for the county elections that are happening this year. I noticed that there are four people running for county sheriff at the moment in Clinton County, none of whom is the incumbent. And we've talked a lot on this show about your city trying to battle the various types of crime that your city is dealing with. So I wanted to ask you, what do you need from the next county sheriff to help with what the Frankfort police are doing?
I think one big item, and I learned about this, really, there's a couple counties that are doing this very well in the state, one of which, being Boone County, has a program called JCAP. It's a chemical assistance program that's working to get individuals that are incarcerated that have substance abuse and addiction issues. It's almost creating a community within the jail, and these individuals are surrounded with like-minded individuals that all have a motivation to become clean, to overcome their addictions, to better themselves, so they have that constant support network. And then that is bolstered by structured activities, counseling, giving them the tools they need to overcome the addiction in their life or whatever substance abuse issue is plaguing them, so that then when they're released, you know, they actually have a chance. We see this constantly. We see individuals, we put a case together on, they're arrested, they're put into jail, they come out 2 days later, they come out 2 weeks later, they come out 2 months later, and they go right back to the same old patterns of crime and addiction and disease that they always had because they weren't given those opportunities. I would personally like to work with the next sheriff, and I'd even like to open up conversations with our current sheriff in regards to how we as a city can support something like that. It might just be through moral support. I know the Attorney General's office, Curtis Hill, is offering some grant funding and opportunities for communities that would like to pattern ourselves after successful programs to get something like this in place. That's perhaps one of the biggest things, Stan, that I would like to see done here in Clinton County. and I, as mayor, want to help support get something like that done.
Are you saying that you might want the next sheriff to be a little more forward-looking than perhaps previous sheriffs have been in terms of the programming that's offered, you know, getting away from when I think of the common criticisms of law enforcement today? One of the ones is that we haven't gotten away from the whole lock them up and throw away the key model of treating especially things like drug offenses. Are you saying you want somebody in that job who thinks a little bit differently about how to deal with what is a significant drug problem for your city?
I think it's facing all communities across the state right now, and I think we have to start thinking outside of the box. And I think it's very easy to get in this mindset of, you know, we're going to put as many canine officers out on the street, and we're going to put as many narcotics detectives up in that unit of the police departments to arrest these people. And we're going to continue to do that. I've told you before, and I'm being serious, if people are dealing drugs in this city, they better find another place to go in a hurry, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We're going to get you. But once these people are arrested and they're put into jail, you know, we need to then be transitioning into, okay, how do we surround these people with resources that will help them overcome their disease? How can we give them support networks to overcome this? Because, you know, in order for a person to change, they have to want to change, but sometimes it takes hitting rock bottom, and individuals that are incarcerated, they're hitting rock bottom. So that's, you know, one of the key opportunities that I think we can reach out and say, hey, we have this program, here's how it would work, and maybe, just maybe, I don't care if it's one out of every 100 people, I don't care if it's one out of every 1,000, that's one life, that's one individual that's maybe going to come out and not revert back to their old ways. You know, and then we talk about how that's going to affect our family situations in this community. You know, when a mom and dad gets out of jail and they go back to the same old pattern of crime and addiction and substance abuse, think about the ripple effects that that's having with our children, with families in this community. And then that pours over to our schools and puts undue pressure on our teachers. You know, this is a ripple effect in society. I think this is one small way that we can intervene. Once we incarcerate an individual, give them the support they need to properly rehabilitate them. And it's a different way of thinking. I think we need to put focus on this initiative just as much as we do the incarceration side of it. And hopefully we can make a difference in some lives. And I think that's what I'm looking for out of a sheriff's candidate, because ultimately that's their jail. They are the elected official to run that jail. And I'd like to see more of these programs developed. It's being done in the state. There's no sense in reinventing the wheel. Let's look at what some other communities are doing and pattern ourselves after their successful programs and make a difference.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We'd love to have your questions for him. Call 765-496-1999. Email ask@wbaa.org or tweet questions at WBAA News on Twitter. I wanted to kind of ask you a 30,000-foot view of the county elections that are coming up. And it's certainly true that Clinton County trends conservative. But I noticed that there are currently no Democrats who have filed for any positions outside of township trustee jobs. And I guess we should note that there's a bill out there in the legislature that would eliminate potentially some of those as well. I know you are far from being a Democrat yourself, but does it make it harder for you to run your city if there aren't more debates, if there aren't more voices on the other side, so that you can get a bigger variety of people saying, well, let's think about the way we can make Frankfort better in a number of different ways? In other words, if you had more opposition.
I believe me, I find plenty of opposition, you know, within my own party here on a local level. So we have plenty of good spirited debates. And I don't know, you know, I can't speak to what it's like in larger communities. In larger communities, you know, where you have more, you know, party affiliated issues, you know, I can just speak for what I know, and that's Frankfort in this community. And I've ran against a Libertarian, I've ran against a Democrat, I've ran against an Independent, and I've ran against a Republican in the four election processes that I've been through. And to be honest with you, you know, I've never really been pushed on party affiliation, larger issues like you get at the state house or what might happen in larger communities and or Washington, D.C., I can tell you that people look at, you know, what am I considering in terms of a community development strategy? What do those strategies consist of? You know, where are my priorities in terms of spending money? How do I view, you know, how our departments need to be structured and how our employee health care, you know, is to be handled? You know, these items. And you know, I look at those items, at least in Frankfort and Clinton County, and those aren't party issues. Those are people issues. And so I can't really sit here and tell you that the voters really have a big party affiliation in mind when they go to the ballot box in the local elections here in Frankfort. And again, I'll reiterate, believe me, I mean, you know, we have some of the largest divisions and pushbacks from people within our own party here, and that's good. That's a part of democracy. That's a part of diplomacy. And you should have people with alternate points of view. And we do have that. And I will say, you know, we do have one Democrat, elected Democrat on the city council, Joe Palmer. And Joe is one of my biggest allies. Joe and I work together, and yeah, we look at the world in a little bit different view, but it's made me a better person. I've learned a lot from Joe, and I've come to respect that man. So that's what I can tell you surfaces in Frankfort, and for right now, you know, I believe it's working.
We talked on the show last month about what resources there are for the underprivileged in times of the extreme cold like we've had in the last month here. I noticed that your city is now discussing the possibility of trying to increase some of those, have more of a defined emergency shelter area. Is that right?
Correct. So, you know, we've hit a great cold spell here, bitter, bitter, bitter. And so I reached out to our Center Township trustee, Kevin Evans, and he's already doing a great job when it comes to this. But now we have a protocol put in place that if any citizen in the community comes across an individual that is without shelter, all they need to do is dial 911, and Central Dispatch is a partner in this. Let them know that person's condition, location, etc. Central Dispatch will dispatch the proper local authorities. A Frankfort police officer or a county deputy will intervene. They will contact our Center Township trustee, and then our Center Township trustee has partnered with local churches, different organizations to get that person in out of the cold, and to get them shelter and a hot meal, to have warming stations, so to speak. We've also talked to our fire chief that if any individual, you know, needs to get themselves to a quote-unquote warming station, they can approach any of our three fire departments across town, station 1, 2, or 3, and we will get them in out of the cold and get them proper assistance to get a roof over their head. The conversation that we're having right now is, you know, I think we need a better situation for individuals that need to be housed for 30, 60, 90 days. And not only give them housing, but give them case management. Get them connected with a situation like Ivy Tech that can provide some work skills. Get them connected with a job opportunity. Get them connected with perhaps financial help, financial counseling, so that if they do have a source of income, they know how to properly handle that source of income in terms of savings, and really give them a comprehensive look at their life and give them the resources. Again, not much different than what we were talking about with the jail assistance program, but this would be a little bit different in terms of not just simply giving them a handout or putting a roof over their head. Yeah, we want to do that, but let's look at what this person needs to really fulfill, you know, the dreams they have for themselves and be a good, productive member of society, and that's what we want to give these individuals. So right now, we're talking with our county commissioners. We're interfacing with our Parkview home here in the community, and we're trying to figure out, number one, is there a need for this space? Number two, if there is, where that space will be, what that will look like, who will operate it. But that's a serious conversation that's being had right now, and it may be a hole that we very well need to fill up.
That Parkview home conversation is interesting because there's been some talk that there are some beds available there, but there are some folks, including the person who runs the Parkview home, who have said, I would really like it if you could, for instance, do a background check on anybody who you might bring in from the cold to stay in that facility. And that would kind of align with what you were just talking about in terms of trying to find out more about the people you are serving to see what it is that everybody needs. Is there a way to interface those two things to make, for instance, a population that in some cases does not like to give out a lot of information. We find this every year during the point in time homeless counts, for instance, that there are a lot of people who are really reticent to give personal information. Can you provide this sort of carrot model by saying, look, we can help you out if only you will let us take a little bit of information and find out a little bit more about you? Is that a way to kind of kill two birds with one stone there?
I think so, and I think it's important to note, too, that, some individuals don't want help. You know, there's been individuals that, we have personally fought to get to a shelter nearby, and then that individual has gone in, broken rules, assaulted individuals, and, of course, been asked to leave or have had to been forcibly removed. And so some individuals just don't want help, and you can't make them want to help themselves. So that's obstacle number one. If they do want help, looking at a situation like Parkview, and by the way, we formed a little a committee amongst myself, our center township trustee, some concerned citizens. We have a faith-based element to that, along with Chris Overman of Parkview Home. And we're going to take a tour of Parkview Home next week. And you know, a lot of good things were brought up in a meeting we had last night. You know, I don't think you can commingle the existing population at Parkview Home with more individuals. I think, you know, what I foresaw was a physical barrier being put up, and these would be two separate facilities within a facility. Now, is it possible to do this at Parkview Home? That's what we're going to go out and we're going to start exploring next week. It may not be possible. You know, my thought is, as mayor and as a taxpayer was, Stan, you know, we have this giant facility. It's about 36,000 square feet. There's 24 people living in it. Was there a potential space within Parkview that could be renovated and kind of walled off so it'd be two facilities within a facility that can meet these two needs in a very secure and safe fashion? It may be possible, it may not be, but as a taxpayer, you know, we're already paying to keep this wonderful facility open. So we all want to make sure it's being used to its highest and best use. And so this was just an idea that was brought to the table. And like I said, we'll tour it next week. We'll continue to have these conversations. And it may be that this is a wonderful idea. It's needed, but it just might not be feasible at Parkview. And if that's the case, that's okay. And we'll continue to push forward because I do think we're going to find there is a need for this in the community.
I want to go back for a second to our conversation a moment ago about what you need from the new sheriff. And we had a caller call in who says that they want to know if you feel that the penalties are high enough for drug users to actually make them think twice about their drug activity, or if they are too lenient to the point perhaps that the penalties do not do enough good in terms of making or deterring people from drug activity.
So, number one, I appreciate the question. Wish more people would call in on this show. We always encourage that. So I appreciate the question from the caller. I'll give one specific example, and I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not, you know, neck deep into this, but I do know this because it doesn't pertain to my channel of government, so to speak. But here's my thoughts. You know, I was talking to one of our narcotics detectives a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about a certain case in Clinton County where, you know, there was a massive amount of marijuana plants found. Massive amount. I'm not talking about a dozen. I'm talking about a massive amount of plants. And this individual, a case was put together, an individual was arrested, and, you know, it wasn't any time at all. I'm talking a matter of days. This individual was back out on the street, you know, doing whatever. Now, the fact that someone can do that in today's society and go in and come back out in a matter of days, in a matter of hours, and go back to a life that, you know, maybe they're doing things properly, maybe they're not, that was absolutely stunning. Now, what does that do to our police officers? You know, after a while, you know, that says to them, my goodness, you know, I put a case together of this magnitude, and this individual goes in and comes right back out. You know, that was a red flag to me right there. I can tell you that our narcotics detectives now focus mostly on methamphetamine, heroin, and cocaine, because at times I do think they become discouraged about sentencing when it comes to drug infractions. But again, you know, I would like to hear more from our prosecutors, our judges about this. But that one specific example to ask the caller's question raises a red flag to me that maybe things need to be looked at a little bit more in terms of the severity that's put on individuals that are growing and dealing illicit substances.
One thing I'll say about that, and I will preface it the same way you did, which is I am certainly not a lawyer, is that there are issues of due process here in terms of allowing people out, in terms of giving them time before a trial and things like that. So some of that might be at play here, but I understand and take your point as well. Wanted to spend our last couple of minutes here actually talking about a notable Frankfurt citizen who's passed away recently, Vern Casper, who was a big benefactor in a lot of different ways to the city. I wanted to ask you your remembrances of him and how your relationship was.
He always pushed me to become a better person. I'll never forget the first time I went on the radio with Mr. Casper. You know, I was shaking in my boots, but I came to have a great respect for that man. He gave back to the community graciously with an open and giving heart. He kept my team and myself on our toes every month, much like you do, Stan, on this show here. And Party Line became a fixture in our community over the years. Many great things happened because of Mr. Casper, such as Ivy Tech Community College, but he left a legacy of being a lifelong student. The man was 96 years old, well, soon to be 96, about 10 days away, and he always got up every single morning and wanted to learn something new that day, wanted to help someone that day, wanted to come up with a new idea. He would call that a full day. And I'll never forget that about him. And so now, you know, I'm going to continue to wake up and continue to be a student. And I think that's a lesson we all can think about. And, you know, whether you're a mayor, whether you're a lawyer, a doctor, or a machinist, there's always something to be learned. There's always someone that could use our help. And that's what I'll never forget about Vern Casper. He left a lifelong, enduring legacy in this community and will always be a Frankfurt legend.
His name is on a number of things in the community, and I also thought of him, and you mentioned the Ivy Tech example, and you and I have talked on this program about how Ivy Tech got done and how that relates to your city perhaps applying for Stellar Communities grants and you needing to find the right number of people to put together to offer a match to a lot of the grants that Stellar requires. Is there any way you can use the example of Vern Casper, perhaps even after he's gone, to try to get such a coalition together and use that message to say to people elsewhere in the community, look at the things he did, look at the things you might be able to do going forward?
Absolutely. It's happening right now. You know, we're on a fundraising initiative right now for Prairie Creek Park and Project Home Run. We already have $800,000 raised. And all of that is possible because a man believed in an Ivy Tech community college and gave selflessly of his own treasures that he worked hard his entire life to give people an affordable opportunity and an education right here in the heart of Clinton County. This corner outside my office gets revitalized. Then Nickel Plate Flats comes along, and now Prairie Creek Park and Project Home Run are possible. Boutiques and ice cream shop is opened up and are opening up in our downtown. We have millions of dollars of private investment driving in downtown Frankfurt right now. And Stan, I believe, you know, this corner and what Mr. Casper helped lead with Ivy Tech, it's all a part of that. It created a domino effect. And for that, we'll forever be grateful. So I say to my good friend, rest in peace.
Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time. We've run out of it here on the program, but we'll look forward to talking to you next month.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Stan.
Same to you, sir. This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember to tune in next week for our conversation with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. You can find all of these shows archived at our website, WBAA.org, and send a question for any of our four mayors to ask at WBAA.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.